Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game until the 7 o'clock hour, our second hour, less than a half hour away from kickoff of games throughout the area. It is the Scoreboard Show. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker, Dom Tarowski. Glad you're with us on this Friday night. And we got something new. We're doing something called a Pick of the Week. And let's do the Pick of the Week right now, Chris. Pick of the Week, by the way, brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. What do you have?
Well, Sam, I took a little unique route this day. So you got Rome. They're 0-2.
Yep.
You got Toombs County. They're 3-0. Last year, Toombs County, number one in the state, defending state champions in their classification. Small school, though. Last year, Toombs County beat Rome in what probably was the biggest one upset that we saw in the regular season last year.
And they get them, propel them onto the
state. Propel them on the state championship. They're 3-0. Haven't lost since.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. And that was even with a hurricane coming through town down there, and they still went out and won.
Haven't lost since, but until today.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I mean, my pick of the week is the obvious revenge of the Rome Wolves, who haven't lost back-to-back games. Started the season 0-2. That's a really good football team, but they started 0-2. They're angry.
Yep.
They're hungry.
Mm.
And they got revenge on their mind. So my pick of the week is the easy one. Rome over Toombs County.
You said that's an easy one.
Number one in the state, Toombs County, they go down.
Wow. We're going to watch for that one. We're going to watch for that pick. I'm going to do one in that's a show-me game. Eagles landed off to a 3-0 start, and they start the season impressively with a win over Coach Boone Williams and Northside Warner Robins. That gets your attention, right? They're 3-0 now, and they got to play Stockbridge tonight. Now, that Stockbridge will be an acid test. Stockbridge is 2-1. It's going to be a big ball game.
Who you got?
Does Eagles land and go to 4-0?
Who you got?
Do they go to event? I don't think so.
Stockbridge.
I think Stockbridge.
You can't go away from the legendary team.
We're going to see.
The legacy team.
We're going to see. We're going to, but it's a big ball game. I'm rolling with Stockbridge for tonight.
Maybe they'll get a free kick.
Maybe that.
I'm getting hit up with the free kicks. Like people. So my man Todd Harris, our director of transportation, works for me at school. He called me. I thought he had a problem at work. He just want to talk about the free kick he saw.
There we go.
Free kicks, baby.
Got people talking about it.
If you're a ball knower, you've seen the free kicks.
You know what's going on. You know what's going on. Garrett Chapman's got a preview of a game that he's going to be at tonight down on the South Lot. Let's check in with him.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game down at Langston Hughes High School for a prime matchup here of Georgia high school football. And I'm joined by head coach, Enrico Hines. Coach, you have two marquee teams, two immensely talented teams. How does a game like this get you prepared for your region slate as you kind of gear up for the rest of the season?
Oh, I think it's a great game to get us prepared for the region. Well-coached team, much respect to the coaching staff, the players. It's going to be a physical game. So I think this game will let us know where we stand. I think moving forward, and throughout the state, let alone just the region.
Coach, you've got one of the highest scoring teams in your classification. You're going up against one of the top defenses here in the state of Georgia. How does your offense find a gear here in this game?
You know, it's weird. I saw that, the scores came out. Me and the offensive coordinator, Coach Cole, really don't think we're playing great right now to be averaging the points we are. So it's a testament to the coaching staff, the guys believing in the system. But right now, we're really not where we want to be. So it's good, but we're kind of striving to be a little better.
Who are you challenging to step up and find that gear?
Just the quarterback. It's a quarterback-heavy offense. I think Darnell Kelly's doing a great job. I think he's taking coaching. I think he's learning. So I think this will be a big step for him tonight, just to kind of see, how he goes against one of the top defenses in the state.
What do you see? What are you looking for in your defense here tonight? A game like this tonight?
Just not give up big plays. They got great receivers, great coaches. I just try to keep the ball in front of us and make them earn everything.
X factor for tonight?
I just think protecting the ball. The team that plays the cleanest should win.
Yes, sir. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Garrett Chapman for the High School Scoreboard Show. Enrico Hines joining me here down at Langston Hughes High School. Matchup between two powerhouses in Georgia high school football. Sam Crenshaw, Chris Parker, it's great to be back down here in the great state of Georgia covering high school football. Guys, back up to you.
All right, that is Garrett Chapman and Coach Hines, and then he's getting ready to go to work. It's going to be quite a ball game tonight.
Man, excited to see Garrett back out with us.
Yep.
So Garrett's back. He's been covering a lot of college ball.
Yep.
I got news for Garrett. Ain't going to look a lot different out there with Langston Hughes and Douglas County. Going to look like some college ball players out there.
They will.
There's some good-looking young men out there playing, and that's going to be a big-time game. I was thinking of that one for my pick'em.
Yep.
And I was like, well, I got to win this first one. I got to pick one I can win. I want to say Douglas County's got the better team, you know, the bigger school. But, you know, man, Newton played them tough, and Langston Hughes they're just one of the teams that can match you player for player in a lot of areas. So that's going to be a really interesting game to follow tonight. Garrett will have it right here for us. You know, 9-2-9 a game, every step of the way. That's going to be a really interesting game. That's a state championship semifinal type caliber game.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's going to be following and checking in with us. All right, Cobb County's got some teams that have gotten off to great starts. We're going to check in now with John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal. My goodness, I don't know where to begin. You got a couple of his teams that are not playing tonight. John, what's the game you're really keeping an eye on tonight? What's the better one?
Well, we've got a number of them, but the one that I'm most interested in is North Cobb Christian and Sonoraville. Might not be in the front of everybody's minds, but Sonoraville played them to a 7-point game last year, and North Cobb Christian's off to a 3-0 start. You know, they had Teddy Girard, who transferred down the street down to North Cobb. But, you know, you've got Matt Jones and you've got Gary Varner over there at North Cobb Christian. And those are some of those guys that can take theirs and beat yours and take yours and beat theirs. So they know how to coach them up over there. And I really like what I'm seeing over there. And I'm also keeping an eye on Hillgrove and Marietta. Fino versus 0-3. But Marietta played some pretty good defense. You know, Coach Duke's going to get that first win, almost got it last week against McEachern. Marietta's on the right track, but good grief, that Hillgrove defense, we thought it was good last year. They picked up right where they left off, and they've given up 7 points in their first two games. They just look nasty.
Sam, I've got some firsthand knowledge of Sonoraville. I actually won the week early in the season when the Falcons were in preseason and we weren't on. My local Pickens Dragons played Sonoraville. We got the win. Yep. Sonoraville's got a good team. They got a good quarterback. The coach's son, Coach Pate, the quarterback's a good player. So I got to see them. But I also agree, Marietta and McEachern last week I was really impressed with. But, John, I've got to ask you about this one. Sequoia and Kale I thought was the game of the week last week. I thought it was going to be a battle. I mean, I talked it up this whole time before 7:30, and then Sequoia dominated the game. I mean, we saw Kale firsthand. We know how good they are. What did you think of that?
Well, you know, Sequoia plays a very physical brand of football, and, of course, James Teeter up there, who just became not only the school's all-time leading winner, but also the county's. You know, he runs an offense that a lot of people don't see anymore. You know, he's still running the wing tee, and you know, they just played bully ball. And, of course, they've got Will Rejecki, running back that's heading to Memphis. They're a good football team, and I wouldn't want to mess with them right now. You know, Kettle's a good football team, too. And if you recall correctly, same thing happened last year. Sequoia nipped him 24-21. So I agree with you. I was, you know, I really thought Kel would come back and get that win, but Sequoia dominated from the word go.
Yep. Thoughts about this game with Walton now. They're 1-2 tonight. They're playing up at Norcross. That's a big game for them tonight.
Big game for Walton, but I'm not really worried about them right now. Sure, they're 1-2, but, you know, they've played McEachern. They've played Roswell. They beat Lambert. Norcross is a top 10 team, if I'm not mistaken, or close to it. You know, they've got Christian Peacock, sophomore quarterback. His brother is a wide receiver as a freshman. They've got a lot of young kids over at Walton, and it's taking a few games. I really felt like last week against Roswell, they did everything except win the game. Roswell kicked a field goal as time expired to win that one 30-28. Walton's going to be just fine. It's just new guys getting used to their new roles, young guys learning the speed of the game. They're going to be okay, but it may take a couple of more weeks once they get into the region schedule.
Yeah, I agree. I think Walton's going to be fine, Sam. They've got a good football team. They're young. They just got to keep playing. The region schedule is what will really matter for them. And in 6A now, a lot of teams are going to lose. You know, you're going to have some losses. It's really about who can improve. And Coach Bruner's team's really shown he can do that. John, we've asked you this the last few years, and you've given us some really good insight. Who have you seen or heard about that's maybe on the rise in Cobb or Cherokee area? Who's somebody that's a Osborne of a few years ago, or maybe a North Cobb Christian or a few years ago, that you've told us about to keep an eye on?
Well, I don't know how many wins that they're going to have. But South Cobb had a 32-game losing streak that dated back to 2021. And a couple of weeks ago, they got their first win to break that streak. Then they followed it up with another win last week. They're off this week. But if you paid any attention to social media this week, they've been talking it up because their stadium got a complete facelift. It is absolutely gorgeous right now.
Wow, I got to get over and see
Coach Marcus Washington. Yeah, Coach Marcus Washington is really getting them going. Of course, he played for Georgia. He knows what it means to build a program, to get things right. Now, I say all of that. They may not win another game this year. And I don't mean that as a slap, because they are very much improved, but they're going to go into a region schedule with McEachern and Hillgrove and Harrison, and Campbell is really good. Campbell's 3-0 right now, and you know, it's going to be difficult. They don't have quite the numbers of some of those other programs, but it's good to see them coming back to life. Because one of the things that South Cobb's always had, they've always produced athletes, Kenny McKinley, Justin Jones, yep, you know, NFL players, Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. They've always had talent down there, and now Coach Washington has them believing a little bit more, and I think he's starting to get some of that talent to come back to the program.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, folks, hey, you can follow him because he is social tonight. Follow him on Cobb Football Friday, Cobb Football Friday, keeping up with scores from around Cobb County. John, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time on this Friday night.
Anytime, fellas, anytime.
All right, have a great one. That is John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal, keeping up with a lot of things.
Listen, if you're on the Friday night Keeping Up with Score train, that's one of your main follows right there.
Yep.
I mean, that's a great follow. Cobb Football Friday, John doing a great job. Hey, Sam, breaking news.
What's,
you know, Ellie, our friend Ellie,
yes,
my daughter,
yes, yes,
made the dance team at the school. Just
outstanding.
Now, so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Dragons are off this week.
Okay.
Still
okay.
Winning.
Okay. Still winning. From Gilmer. And it didn't even bring back the apples.
No, I left them apples up there. But congratulations to Ellie.
Congratulations, Ellie. We're so proud of you. So proud of you. Okay, coming up next, School Day's guest. The last Atlanta Public School to win a high school state championship, Southwest Atlanta, 1973. Reggie Wilkes was one of those players. He's headed into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame, and he's going to join us next. It's School Days on the Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just minutes away from kickoff of our games tonight. Great time to have our School Days guest. Man, someone who plays on a team that when you meet people who went to that school or remember that time, they talk about how fantastic that team was that won the state championship, talking about Southwest Atlanta, one of the leaders, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. Our School Days guest, Reggie Wilkes, welcome into the Scoreboard Show. You're on with Sam and Chris. Welcome into the show.
Sam, Chris, thank you. I appreciate you bringing me in. Thank you.
Reggie, the last state champion from the city of Atlanta. Is that what you tell me? Sam's our expert on this. The last state championship team, 1973? My goodness, Sam, we haven't had one since 1973.
This was a good one, though.
But this was a good one. That's how I looked this up. I did my homework. Reggie, you guys were pretty good now. So what stands out when we ask you about that? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about that 1973 team that you were on?
The character of the players on the team, the guys that I played with, that I fought hard with, Anthony Flanagan being one of them, who I loved and respected, Kent Mason, another one, Andrew Bussey, a dear friend of mine for many, many years, Anthony Terry, who grew up in the same neighborhood, Johnny Mason, who went to Penn. I mean, just it was a fantastically played game, but we also had very good coaches who instilled a lot of discipline and grit for that team. And we honor them and Flanagan and those that have passed. We honor them by being still here to be able to talk about, us and our journey in life.
Fantastic. When I think about the talent, I think about just the community. Talk about the village. Talk about the village that was around you, that surrounded you, and the influences and the things that got you guys to really pursue excellence that season and always.
Well, it always, I think, boils down to not just the coaching staff, but those that are the leaders within a team, the guys that you truly look up to and respect, guys that when they walk in the locker room, you know that they embody the heart and humility and the character of the team. They are the leaders both on the field and off the field. They lead by example. They push us hard. We push him hard. The guy I think about all the time is all the guys I think about, to be honest with you, are Anthony Flanagan. I think about Anthony Terry, Ken Mason, the Monroe twins, all of them. On and off the field, they were allowed us to hold themselves and ourselves accountable. They encouraged, they supported. And, I always, when I look at and think back on my teammates, and I keep talking about Flan the man, but I think about that Flanagan to me was the Magic Johnson of our era as we grew up in Atlanta. And what I mean by that, having a cousin who played with the Lakers, Jamal Wilkes, he walked in the room and the room got quiet because there was this respect and the leadership that we had and the guys that were just playing and fighting for each other on that field. It was the first opportunity for me to understand the importance of teammates and the connection that we had. And you had to do your job, they had to do theirs, you had to have their back. And it was just a lovely growing opportunity for me and just laid the groundwork for me and others as we've grown through life. So I'll never forget that team and the players and everyone surrounding us and parents who supported us.
Yeah, I love this segment because these are guys who have achieved. They played in the NFL. They've done great things since. But I feel like Sam brought this up before. People just don't ask about the high school days, and so I love hearing about that. But is there any moment, Reggie, is there any one moment that when you reflect back, any of the years you were here in Southwest Atlanta, is there any moment where you're like, man, I remember that game, that play, that time with the coach, anything like that?
I'll give you two, guys, and thank you for asking that question. The one is, of course, in the championship game against Americas, and we were down 7-0 going into the fourth quarter with about two, three minutes to go, and a teammate, and they had a very, very good team. By the way, Americas, Georgia, the team that we beat, won two state championships following us, where they had driven the ball down the field, ran the ball down our throat, and then they decided to throw a pass in the end zone, into the end zone. And Kent Mason intercepts the ball, runs 99 yards for a touchdown, turns the game around. We end up winning 21-7. And that was talk about jubilation. Mm. The other for me, selfishly and personally, was the following. I recall one day that I had just gotten sick and tired of one coach who I should probably not name, but he was one of the defensive coaches, just kept riding me. And I'll tell you why I think he rode me back then so hard. And I just seen I'd had enough of it. And I walked off the field and quit. And as soon as I walked up into the stadium locker room, I saw all my teammates, all of them, missing one person, they quit as well. They saw how he had been riding me, and they all quit. And they talked me back into this: if you go, we go. And when I went back on the field, and we were preparing for the football season. And in my opinion, that one thing that I did, I just gotten tired of it. And I said, you know, I'll just play basketball. And I thought, showed the teammates and love that we have for one another. And we went on to win the state championship. So when I reflect back on my high school career, those are the two moments in my career that I remember most. And that laid the groundwork for me to go to Tech, to play with guys like Lucius Sanford, guys that went on that very America's team, Kent Hill, Michael Harris, bad linebacker, Drew Hill.
Yep.
I mentioned Lou Sanders. Let me just there was Anthony Terry, Kent Mason. We were all at Georgia Tech together. And you guys should ask me, how did I end up at Tech at some point? But those are the times that I remember most about the school. Yep.
Folks, just please spend some time with our school days guest, Reggie Wilkes. Southwest Atlanta, part of the last team to win a state championship from the city of Atlanta, the Southwest Atlanta Wolves. And you have something very special coming up next weekend, having a golf tournament over at Browns Mill Golf Course next week. I know you want to encourage some people to come out and take part, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be, again, as you pointed out, September 13th at Browns Mill Course right there on Cleveland Avenue. And the money that is raised, by the way, is going to support the Benjamin E. Mays High School, which is now the school for my former Southwest High School, which moved down the street. And also, it will benefit the Anthony Flanagan Recreation Center in West Manor Park and the programs that they run. Anthony was one of those guys. He grew up in a family where his mom and dad passed early in his life. And he, throughout the remainder of his life after football, he moved back to Atlanta, and he was the cornerstone of a lot of programs that centered around youth development in Southwest Atlanta, a safe haven where children can encourage and grow organically, physically, mentally, and socially. And I take my hat off to him again, because he was that guy. He was just a guy that his dream was for us to get better. And I cannot imagine anything better than to support this golf tournament, to support those efforts and those programs.
Yeah, that is coming up next Saturday. Now, you, of course, are going to be receiving an honor here this fall. You're going to be going in along with, your former teammate, Anthony Flanagan, is in. You're going to be inducted into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. Congratulations to you. Chris and I are both on the board of that, to vote for that, and we're excited to have you become a member of the Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you. I know I got in, along with some guys who beat me in, and they clearly deserved it. Lou Sanford, who's, by the way, my teammate at Georgia Tech and went to West Fulton. Ken Hill is already in. Michael Harris is already in. Italy Ivory is already in. So, I am proud to follow those guys in.
Yeah, well-deserved.
Thank you both for your votes.
Yeah, well-deserved. We're excited to see you in October. Tell us real quick, we can get you out, but how did you get to Georgia Tech?
Very quick story here. I at that time, by the way, let me just say this. There were at least 20 guys who got scholarships to go to college from that football team.
Wow.
And the primary reason for that, in my opinion, was Anthony Flanagan's stardom and coaching staffs and scouts coming to see us play. But to cut through the chase here, I ended up at Tech by happen chance. I had never visited Georgia Tech. My father met a guy by the name of Bud Casey, and he worked for Pepper Rogers. He was an assistant coach. Called my dad up, and Kent Mason, who's a teammate at Southwest High School, Anthony Terry had already signed. I had just gotten back from visiting UPenn. I was going to go to school at Penn with Johnny Mason, And I get home, and I was just tired of flying around the country. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Ohio State back in the day, and they were recruiting me. And I said, you know, I really don't want to leave Atlanta. My dad said to me, you should go to Georgia Tech. And I ended up in Tech. I never visited the college, but that was the best advice that I'd ever gotten in my sports career from my father, because it worked out well for me. I would not be where I am today, in my opinion, probably, if not for that opportunity to have played at Tech with so many great people.
And so you went to visit Penn, but you end up in Philadelphia eventually, right?
Yeah, ironically, my father's family had moved to Philadelphia, so that's where he wanted me to go. And the other school was Princeton, played basketball. But listen, I was not 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". So football was going to be my ticket, and I tried to use it as best I could.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, look, we appreciate you spending some time and reliving some of your school days. I think our listeners enjoyed hearing from you as well tonight, and we look forward to seeing you as we induct you into the Hall of Fame and hope people come out and take part in the golf tournament next week to help support young folk in that community and to honor Anthony Flanagan. Reggie Wilkes, thanks so much for spending the time with us tonight here on the Scoreboard Show.
No doubt. Thank you, guys. And also, the one last cleanup thing, Andrain Jackson, thank you as well. She helped me out there.
All right, we have to give her a shout out as well. We appreciate her so much. All right.
All right, my friends. Thank you.
Thanks, Reggie.
Thank you. Great conversation and great memories.
Absolutely.
You know? And just think, he's here in town. He had never gone over to Tech. He just crossed town.
Hadn't even gone over there to visit.
Went to
UPenn.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you noticed about me, Sam, but they didn't ask me if I wanted to go to Penn.
They showed me
Penn
down,
is in the Ivy League.
They showed me down the hall. Penn. They showed me down the hall. They showed me
that's in the Ivy League.
They go down the hall. That room on that's the boiler room.
I was a lot closer to a different kind of Penn when I was in high school than UPenn. Like penitentiary. Yeah, that's awesome, man. And Jamal Wilkes, man, I was trying not to fanboy, Magic, Kareem, Jamal Wilkes.
Off the window.
You know about that, Dom?
Off the window.
You know about Jamal Wilkes? You need to look that up. That's the Lakers, like early 80s Lakers, like before Byron Scott, you know.
And what was the backboard there for?
Before A.C. Green.
This guy could you know.
Jamal Wilkes.
Yep,
baby.
Absolutely.
UCLA, John Wooden.
Yep. Absolutely. I didn't know they were related. Now I found out something tonight. How about that? Yeah. Okay. Our games have kicked off. 7:30 time right now. I tell you what, one game that hasn't kicked off, that's the game that's going to be on A&F tonight up at Buford, that big brand new stadium. We're going to check in with RJ Rosenberg and see what RJ tells us about that place. That's coming up next on this Friday night. It's the Scoreboard Show, high school scoreboard show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam and Chris on the High School Scoreboard Show. So glad you're with us on this Friday night. We got a few games that will come in. We'll check those scores. Of course, the scoreboards scores that come to you by way, brought to you by Formetco Scoreboard. Formetco Scoreboard can help your school change the game. Go to FormetcoScoreboards.com. I see a couple scores.
Yeah, I got one. I got Kings Ridge 7, Walker 0.
Mm-hmm.
How about that one? Creekview 7, Lassiter 0. On that Formetco scoreboard. You know, like I told you, I'm not just, you know, a promoter of the Formetco scoreboard. I'm also was a client. We have a Formetco. I've bought and purchased a Formetco scoreboard.
Ed Pickens.
As the athletic director. And things awesome.
Home of the Dragons.
3-0, the Dragons.
3-0 Dragons. Got a couple other scores before we get to our guest here. Central Carrollton is up 7-0 on Villarica, a first quarter score. Cherokee Bluff up 14-0 on Habersham Central. There's early on in this game, and Southwest DeKalb is up 14-0 on Clarkston. Those are all first quarter scores of games that are just underway. All right, there's a game that's kick off at 8:00. Usually the games down in South Georgia kick off at 8, but we usually have one in our part of the world that kicks off at 8:00, and that's one on A&F. And that's out at Buford tonight, where I.J. Rosenberg joins us now to check in. As always, I.J., welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. And you got to tell me about this place out there where they're playing this game tonight. Something special.
Yeah, it's Buford's $65 million stadium.
Woo! Oh, my goodness.
It's really beautiful. I went out with their AD about 2 months ago and toured it. But it's, I mean, they got luxury boxes. They have a huge video board that actually has video on both sides of it. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you just don't see stuff like that in Georgia. You go to Texas, you see a few of them. But, you know, it's a pretty incredible place. And what's amazing is no track, okay? So they, you know, the city owns it and runs it, but it was basically built for the football team at Buford, which is, you know, right across the street. And, of course, they had a good stadium over there, really. But it's an amazing place. And, you know, look, if you got the money, you got the money. There's a big natural pipeline that runs underneath the city of Buford, and they got a lot of money. So that's what they decided to do with $65 million. We're in a lightning delay right now, and I think it's going to be a long night for a lot of games in Georgia. You know, everybody's got to be really careful these days, you know, with the weather. And, you know, it's not the heat right now. It's more obviously the lightning. And once it gets within about 7 or 8 miles, you've got to wait 30 minutes. And, you know, the problem with that, guys, is that every time – you know, you get a strike within 8 miles, you got to wait another 30 minutes. So it's probably going to be a pretty long night, but it should be a good game. I'm impressed with Roswell, despite who their coach, you know, they lost their coach. He went up to Dalton. But it really doesn't seem to matter who's coaching Roswell these days. They stay real competitive. They came, you know, last week they were blowing Walton out. Walton came back, but Roswell ended up winning at the end. And as far as Buford is concerned, I mean, I think this is, you know, a game where two teams are, for the most part, matched up pretty well. I mean, I think if you went man by man or player by player, that you'd have to give the edge to Buford. But, you know, I can see Roswell get, you know, if they play the game, that I can see them giving them, you know, a good, you know, this should be a good game tonight.
It gives them a measuring stick. And I was impressed with Roswell's new coach, Jonathan Thompson. He comes from Lee County. He was the offensive coordinator at Lee County, Sam. Met him a little bit this summer.
You know, what did they score? 700 and something points last year?
A lot.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Roswell, you know, we came out of Roswell. My kids played rec ball there. And then, of course, you know, because we live on the east side, once we got to middle school, we went to Centennial Theater and then, of course, Centennial High School. But, you know, Roswell's, you know, like Walton, like a lot of these schools that, you know, has always had a really good tradition. And, you know, they continue to have a good football program. And it's a, you know, it's a diverse area. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that about Roswell. You know, you've got a lot of nice homes, you've got a lot of apartments. So, you know, you've got a place there that, you know, that gives out a good education where people can move into. And they've always had a lot of move-ins. And I wouldn't say in a bad way. I would say in a good way, because, like I said, it's a very diverse, this has been for many, many years, you know, city for the most part. And then, you know, Buford's Buford. We'll get a chance to see, you know, just how good Buford is, because, you know, they're going to face some real talent, you know, as far as Roswell's. So I'll tell you what, guys, I've been at Mercedes the last couple of days. We've been helping build this huge club up at the top of the stadium, the 300 level. It's pretty amazing. I'll tell you what, guys, you know, we've been in business for 22 years. So I started this business, about a year after Arthur bought the Falcons. And, you know, it's really amazing to watch a guy that, you know, built one of the great retail places in Home Depot, but then start from scratch again. And, you know, he bought the Falcons, I think, for about $545 million back in 2002, a team that was just valued at over $8 billion. Did y'all see the thing about Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys for $151 million.
Yep.
And they just, I think they estimate that, I mean, they're the, you know, the highest valued team, probably not just the NFL, but in all sports at something like $14 billion. That's a heck of an investment, guys.
Yeah, that's a good investment.
That's a nice payout, huh?
But yeah, we're excited. We got everything done, so we're excited about Sunday with the Falcons, of course. I know this is a high school show, but I know everybody Sunday is going to be mm-hmm. pointing towards Mercedes-Benz to see what, you know, what the Falcons can do against him. I'll tell you, and y'all can both comment on this as well, but it's amazing when the NFL starts how everything changes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, last night's a good example. People were just couldn't wait for the Cowboys and the Eagles to play. And then, of course, before the game even started, one of the former Bulldogs spits on, you know, spits on Prescott or spits at his feet or whatever and gets thrown out of the game. But it is incredible how football is. And, you know, and we feel it here in high schools. I mean, as big as the NFL is around the world, you know, high school football here is very similar in Georgia.
A lot of optimism with the Falcons in the city right now.
Yeah, and I think for good reason. I mean, they lost a couple of linemen. You know, they don't play a lot of guys in the preseason. You know, there's some teams that do and some teams that don't. So you really don't get a chance, you know, for instance, when you have a young quarterback like the Falcons have, to really get to see him until the season starts. But they got a lot of offensive weapons, and they seem to have picked up some good players on defense, especially up front. But, you know, it's time for the Falcons to make a move, you know, especially over Tampa Bay. And this will be they beat Tampa twice last year, despite Tampa ended up winning the division. That just doesn't happen very often. But I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. I think he's one of the guys that's proven that, you know, you can have a couple of down years early in your career and then bounce back. I like watching him play. So I think it'll be a real, real interesting game on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz.
We'll let you go. Talk about what it means to have an NFL team support high school athletics the way that the Falcons do. I mean, this year there were grants for boys and girls. I was at a camp this week up at Johnson High School in Gainesville for girls flag football. Just thoughts about – and then the opportunity they have for coaches to come out and visit Flowery Branch and learn about the game. The Falcons are so plugged into what we see on Friday nights.
Yeah, I will tell you this, guys. You know, growing up in Atlanta, you know, I met Arthur back in 1978. So I'm a big fan of a guy because he's successful. And, you know, he bounced right into girls' flag. And, you know, I'm not sure it was totally his decision or Chris Millman's decision who – you know, basically sort of runs the foundation from the sports side. But the impact that they have made in flag football is unbelievable. I mean, they're the ones, they started all the programs. They gave the programs the money. You know, you've got a lot of football coaches that are now flag coaches. And I get it. You know, we do a big 7-on-7. And, of course, we got a Corky Kell for the girls coming up. You know, it's, you know, I see, you know, the impact that's been made and the number of football coaches that's coaching a lot easier coaching girls than boys. So, Coach, you could talk about that probably.
Yeah, I might come back out of retirement if I can get the girls. They listen. Yeah.
You know what, IJ, we got 10 college teams in the state now.
10 college flag?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, no,
people
it's
are getting
impressive.
Scholarships for it. I do know we're giving out scholarships.
Tyrone Poole just signed on as the head coach at Alabama State this week.
Yeah, I think you'll see Alabama and Auburn playing at maybe 7 or 8 o'clock at night with a flag game before them. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
How about that?
That would be something.
That would be something.
That would be something. Yep. That would be something. Well, IJ, we appreciate spending some time. I hope you're not going to be – your crew won't be out there all night. We're going to be watching
this. Yeah, well, hoping it's a short night because it's been a long couple of days.
Here's the positive, IJ. If you had to be somewhere – with a long rain delay, the $65 million stadium has to be a decent
yeah,
place. I'm sure you're not going to get wet.
It makes it a lot. You're right. Makes it a lot easier to stomach. But hey. Listen, guys, both of you guys have a nice night. All right.
Thanks a lot. That's IJ Rosenberg.
Thank you.
With the game on A&F tonight, and they're looking like they're going to have a delay, as is the game for GPB. It's just that region of our area right now is dealing with some rain and some lightning and slowing down some of the games, and we're probably going to see that.
It's not slowing down all of them.
Okay.
I mean, we do have some games.
We got some games.
So
we got some scores.
Rabun County's up 7-0 early on Dalton.
Okay.
That's a game to keep an eye on. Looks like Pepperell up 7-0 early on Cedar Town.
Okay.
Let's see. Etowah 3, Chapel Hill 0.
Okay. Okay.
Early, first quarter.
Gwinnett County score. Parkview is up 8-0 first quarter on Collins Hill.
Listen, Parkview. Okay.
All right. Watch for him?
Yeah. Adam Clack, the coach there. Sometimes it takes you a couple years to get rolling.
Right.
He ain't looking like he needs a couple years. You know, like they're already sneaky good. That program had really dipped a little bit. Coach mm-hmm. Clack comes in there. He was the one that really started Milton on that track.
Right.
He's really, really got Parkview going. That's a team to watch.
All right. We got Locust Grove up on Eagles Landing Christian, 21-7. Locust Grove.
Man, they're having a good year.
They're off to a good start this season.
They really are.
They really are. We're keeping up with them. Some other scores as we go along. We got one more. Let me get one more that we got down here. I can give. I saw something else. Jones County is playing Ola. Keeping that same region. Jones County is up 7-0. That is also a first quarter score. All right, stay with us. We're headed for the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have our reporters checking in with updates and scores and more. As we head for halftime in some games, we'll get some updates as well. And plus, we hear from the victorious coach from a game that was played last night. That's going into the 8 o'clock hour. It's Sam, Chris, Dom, other side of the glass, as you listen to the Scoreboard Show. The High School Scoreboard Show, here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.